Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast, another special edition of the Terrible Podcast, Pittsburgh Steelers Training Camp 2016. It is August the 15th at 5:45 Eastern Time. I am Dave Bryan from Steelers Depot, and I'm joined once again by Alex Cazora, who's fresh back off of his merry-go-round couple of days trips out to Latrobe. Alex, quite a morning you had.
You ever watch Clerks, Dave? The movie Clerks?
Yeah, I have seen it.
I feel like the main character in that who just says, I'm not even supposed to be here today, because I thought I was going to get the day off. And come to find out, at 10:30 this morning, my time, practice is for 11. So the shortest shower ever, and try to make the fastest drive over. But we got there. It was about probably 15 to 20 people in the stands and not that many up by the fence. It was a wacky day, but we were there and the full report's up, so everything worked out okay.
Yeah, it's heck to have, you know, if it would have turned out that you weren't able to cover two practices in a row. Of course, the one that they had on Sunday didn't seem to be much of anything more than, you know, like you, I think, indicated, maybe a dodgeball game broke out. But they were back working at it today. Let's kind of start with the housekeeping. And, boy, might have to do a separate podcast.
We might need a lawyer to work through all this, you know.
to go through some of this. Let's see. The Steelers have signed Wade Hansen, a tackle out of Virginia Tech. Kenyon Mosley-Smith, a defensive lineman out of the University of Pittsburgh. Jamaria Rasko, who's an outside linebacker out of LSU. And Julian Wigham, a defensive back out of Syracuse. Those are the guys that are new to the team over the last couple of days. They, of course, waived injured Brian Mahalik. They waived injured Roy Filon. They originally had put, it seems like, Ross Ventrone on IR, but I just reported a little while ago that Ross Ventrone has now reached an injury settlement with the team, so he was terminated as a vested veteran today as well, too. You want to catch us up on injuries as far as who worked, who didn't work, and anything else that I missed?
Sure, and I'm glad to hear that about Ventrone, because you have a six-week period you have to wait before you can re-sign guys that have been released to injury settlements, so that could theoretically put Ventrone back on this team, you know, for you know, the early to mid part of the season if the team needs to. So that's good to see him. You know, maybe he gets healthy and he can work his way back if you ever need him. Guys, today, some good news, some bad news on the injury front. Good news, Travis Feeney, Marcus Wheaton were in full today in team drills. I think Wheaton might have only gotten teamwork in the first or two sessions, and then he kind of bowed out. I think that was probably just schedule, considering all the time that he missed. But that's good. Travis Feeney was in full, which kind of surprised me and made me a very happy Alex today. He had a really good day today. We'll get into that. Artie Burns was not in team drills. He wasn't even in pads, but he did more aggressive work on the side, some sprinting, some work on his pedal, and exploding out with a coach today. So he seems to be making steps forward. Guys that were out today, Bud Dupree, Jarvis Jones, they were pulling around some sort of little sled, I don't know, like with sandbags that were, you know, weighed down for them to pull around. So they seem to be, you know, trying to stay loose and hopefully close to coming back. Gerald Hawkins missed. He's got that right shoulder. We knew it was a shoulder, but it's his right shoulder. Marcus Gilbert has a left shoulder problem. I know Tomlin made a comment on that, so he was out today. Let's see, that Rasko kid they signed, he bowed out towards the end of practice today. I'm not sure what the injury is. It might have been some sort of upper body. He was walking fine, but heading back to the locker room with a trainer.
Don't buy his jersey right now.
In case you were, yeah, stop that order. He might pull a David Nelson, though, and he could be done. Julian Wigham was in team drills today, but Wade Hansen and that Mosley Smith kid, the nose tackle, were not. They got working individual. A lot of guys got rest today. I mean, it's almost too many to list. A lot of guys were limited. Lawrence Timmons, Shazier. I think Cam Hayward was kind of, you know, getting more rest than usual. Who was the other one? I can't even remember right now. Roosevelt Nix. I did not see Roosevelt Nix in practice today, so he might have gotten a day off or who knows what's going on there. But, yeah, a lot of guys off today, a lot of half days, just kind of a wacky day.
We almost how far away are we, do you think, from seeing off-season rosters expanded to 100 players?
I mean, there eventually has to be a cap on it, though, because the more you expand the rosters, and you know I'm all about the little guy and the guy that's trying to make a team. Those are the guys that I love and appreciate the most. But if you keep expanding, you're going to water down the reps that you have for those individual players. And so, you know, now it's going to be tougher for anyone to stick out and get those reps. So I don't know if it's about expanding 90-man rosters. I think it's about maybe get rid of the cut down to 75, just roll 90-man roster for the final game so those guys, you know, can get work in that final game. You're not playing your starters at all anyway, you know, we might as well give your time to those guys. I think there's things that you can do under the umbrella of a 90-man roster, and this is a different topic for a different time, rather than expanding the 90-man roster itself.
There was also a report on Monday morning that Bruce Gradkowski suffered a significant tear in his hamstring. So Mike Tomlin really didn't have much of an update other than to say a soft tissue injury, expects him to be sidelined, expanded period of time, yada, yada. We kind of already were preparing ourselves for that. So we'll just have to wait and see, you know, what the deal is with him. Mike Tomlin will speak to the media again on Tuesday, probably around 11, I think. I'm not sure of the time exactly. I'm sure he'll tell us that he's leaving the light on for several of these players, so I wouldn't expect to get a definite on some of these guys like Dupree, like Jarvis Jones, like Artie Burns, and a few of these other guys. Yeah, I wouldn't expect a guy like Gerald Hawkins to play, although I didn't expect Gerald Hawkins to play in that first mm-hmm. preseason game because he was battling some sort of shoulder injury. So don't expect to get a lot of information out of Tomlin other than him maybe saying that I'll play Ben a series or AB a series or something along those lines. We'll just have to wait and see. So on to Monday's practice we go. I guess we'll start where we always start, on the offensive line, with Gilbert not in there today and with Hawkins out. Tell us line rotations.
Yeah, it's full Chinese fire drill right now with the first and second teams. Ryan Harris came in at right tackle today for Gilbert. Villanueva stayed at his left tackle spot. Second team gets, you know, jumbled all around. Chris Hubbard works second team left tackle today. Cole Manhart, second team left guard. Cody Wallace, BJ Finney, and then Matt Filer moved to right tackle. Filer been working at right guard. He played tackle at college at Bloomsburg, so that might be a little more natural to him. Of course, he hasn't played that position for quite some time. So a lot of shuffling. Hubbard struggled at left tackle. Feeney gave him fits all day. Matt Filer got a lot of taste of Cam Hayward in one-on-ones, and that went about as well as you would imagine so for Matt Filer. Hayward made quick work, and Hayward beat up on Cole Manhart in team drills. So it was some young guys getting to face one of the best five techs in the league, and the results were kind of predictable there. A couple other notes. I thought Villanueva did a nice job as a run blocker today, getting to the second level, creating some alleys in that regard. I think that's basically all I have. But, yeah, we're in full shuffle mode right now for the offensive line.
All right, anything else to add on the offensive line?
Nope, that's about it. Hopefully Wade Hansen can get out there sooner rather than later, because the lines are pretty short right now, and hopefully, you know, he'll probably be ready for Thursday to work at all in case of an injury or maybe late in the game, just to have another body out there, because, yeah, they have, man, they got a couple of linemen out today.
Look out, Dustin Vaughn.
Yeah, ain't that the truth.
All right, speaking of Dustin Vaughn and the rest of the quarterbacks, of course, Bruce Gradkowski wasn't out there. I think Ben was out there in pads and shorts today. How did seven shots look?
The seven shots, the offense won the day. They had 5 of 7 converted. I thought Ben, he was airing it out deep today in other team drills, not seven shots. But his deep ball looks as good as ever. He had one rope to DHB. He had one rope to Antonio Brown down the sideline on each of those. So, you know, Landry Jones tried to air it out too. A little less success. He got picked once today by Jacob Hagan. And I just didn't see a lot of reps from Dustin Vaughn today. He got some, you know, in the last team session, the last maybe 5 or 6 snaps. But, yeah, it was really Ben Roethlisberger and Landry Jones kind of dominating the snaps today.
Okay, when you talk about a guy like Roethlisberger, how many snaps would you play him against the Eagles?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I haven't thought about it too much. I'm sure Tomlin has an idea. Probably, I don't know, two series or something, maybe like that. Kind of depends, I guess, on your offensive line. Is Gilbert going to be healthy? If not, maybe you're a little more cautious because you have some you know, less talented guys there. Is Pouncey going to play? You know, those are kind of questions I guess I would have that might kind of help framework Ben's play time for me. But no more than, say, two series.
Let's go wide receivers. Sammy Coates bounce back and have a decent practice.
Yeah, I like his hand use offline. I like his ability to beat press coverage and have kind of, you know, violent and active hands and ability to swap hips and get separation downfield. So, yeah, that was a good day for Sammy Coates. But, of course, you know, we've seen enough good days at St. Vincent College for Sammy Coates. We need to see good days at stadiums at Heinz Field and elsewhere. So that's kind of the real test now for Coates. Eli Rogers looks solid. And then the one guy I think I was listening to you and David talk today on the podcast talking about him, Kobe Hamilton, made a couple more plays today in team drills and in one-on-one. Yeah, that's a guy that you don't discount for a practice squad spot.
Yeah, Josh did a decent breakdown on him this morning on the site as well, too. You know, him getting that release. Sure would be nice if we had the all 22. Maybe we need to get all of the listeners to the podcast to email the game pass and shoot. We already pay, I think, what, $100 a year for him. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's a problem of throwing up the all 22 for four more preseason games? Because it sure would make evaluations, especially when you talk about secondary and offensive and defensive line and wide receiver routes and that kind of stuff, a lot easier. But oh well, we have to go with the TV tape. Yeah, Kobe would be one to kind of watch. He's obviously, I mean, look, they very well could keep two wide receivers on the practice squad, right?
Sure. Yeah, you know, there'll be a good battle there, you know, whether it's Isaac Blakeney and now Hamilton's throwing his name into the mix and to Marcus Ayers. You know, you probably keep one slot guy and one outside guy, and Hamilton's probably going to be more outside, and Ayers, of course, a slot. Weird thing about DeMarcus Ayers, I don't know what it is. He just keeps getting these annoying little ankle injuries. He had it again today. He had to get taped up. I think it was the right ankle that I think it was the same one that had bugged him before that caused him to miss a day of practice. He participated in full today, but just, you know, these little nagging ankle injuries can't be good for him.
Yeah, not at all. Quick little guy though, you know, that we saw the other night. It's a shame. Who knows? We'll see if we can see him on the field over the course of the next couple of preseason games. But yeah, Kobe Hamilton, one to watch maybe for a potential practice squad spot. Look, I mean, they like to have maybe one big receiver, you know, to work on that scout team to go up against, you know, to simulate the cards and the matchups and all like that. Mm-hmm. So something to watch for there. Let's see. I guess tight ends, huh?
I literally just wrote the word blah under tight ends because they just not a whole lot going on today. Jesse James continues to get a lot of burn. Xavier Grimble was targeted once. Steven Johnson broke it up. And Paul Lang and Michael Cooper, or Paul Lang and Michael Cooper. So depth-wise, you know, they have the bodies. It's just a very weak and kind of uninspiring group. And, yeah, Grimble's gone kind of quiet in games and in practices. So, you know, make of that what you will.
Okay, running backs. Much of any contact today? Anything to kind of, you know, wet the whistle?
Yeah, no contact, just a couple tackles that probably weren't supposed to be full tackles, you know, heat of the moment, that kind of stuff. I will say just kind of running back / tight end, Paul Lang, David Johnson were getting work in the backfield as a fullback today with, again, Roosevelt Nix, didn't see him out there, so they kind of got some work there. David Johnson's kind of going to be the backup to Roosevelt Nix, of course, and just really more of the same. Darrell Richardson, you know, the next guy in after Bell and D-Well and Toussaint, and very little play time today for Cameron Stingley and Brandon Brown Dukes. They were getting kind of last snap or two of a team session work today. So I think Richardson has very much got a leg up on both those guys.
Okay, that should handle the offensive side of things. Let's go over to the defense. LT Walton, did you mention him? Was he able to work today with a back tightness?
Yeah, I forgot to mention him. He was out today with that back tightness. So, yeah, he did not participate at all.
I saw Keshad Lyons running after the football. Did you see that clip I put up?
I didn't see it.
From the game. No. So I know, you know, he didn't you know, if you're looking for positive things of a young guy battling for a roster spot, especially when it comes to John Mitchell, I was impressed with Keshad Lyons running all the way downfield. He didn't get in on the tackle, but there was hustle there running after the football. Anything else stick out past the starters as far as defensive linemen go?
Past the starters, not a lot. Hayward and Tuitt kind of did their thing, beating up on some of these backup offensive linemen. The other interesting thing, I tweeted it out. I only saw it for one snap. I want to get your take on, you know, what do you think about the idea? But I saw Javon Hargrave working as right defensive end in their base 3-4. It's the first time I've seen it all camp, and of course, didn't happen in the game. Do you like that idea? Do you think it's something that they might try, or, you know, is that just a kind of an in case emergency situation?
Yeah, I haven't given it much thought. I mean, obviously, it's not like they two-gap them guys in these days anyway, you know. So if you're looking for a penetrator, and if he knows his assignment, you know, and his assignment sound, I guess it puts less emphasis a little bit on the 6-3, you know, the traditional 5-tech build, right?
Yeah, I still think they two gap some. I remember Mitchell Schwartz, who's now with the Chiefs, talking about how the Steelers still two gap less, but probably more than any other team. I don't think they're going to do it a lot. It might have been because of some of the injuries today, but, you know, and Ricardo Matthews had gotten dinged. I don't think it's anything serious, but, you know, so that might have played a factor as well. But I just thought Hargrave just excited about his progression. And you know, did we talk about how they were tilting him in our last podcast, Dave? I forget if we mentioned that or not.
I'm not sure if we did, but I think we have talked about it.
Yeah, they were tilting him, and not even just in that faux 4-3 look, in their base 3-4. So I think they really want to make sure that he's getting to play to his strengths and be aggressive and get upfield and penetrate. And I think tilting that nose and lining him up basically between center and guard is going to help, you know, do that.
You know, I think we're in agreement still that you know, Hayward and Tuitt are obviously going to play the bulk of the snaps there. But if you can get somebody to come in, you know, one would think you're grooming either LT Walton or Keshad Lyons to be the guy in the base front should one of those two starters, you know, get dinged or need a snap or two off. It doesn't hurt, obviously, to give Hargrave some work, you know, up front at the end position, I guess. But I doubt we'll see that a lot. I mean, I'm still expecting most of his snaps to come in the nickel this year.
Right. And just to circle back to the game for 2 seconds, you know, we just charted it and finished everything up. And, you know, to talk about conditioning, McCullough's playing all the snaps that he did. Hargrave played 15 snaps, and only twice did he play 3 snaps in a row, and he never exceeded 3 snaps in a row. So to kind of go back to that discussion we had, now that we have the numbers, he got to play fresh. McCullough's was out there for many, many snaps at a time. And so if there's any kind of takeaway from that standpoint, you know, you have to keep in mind and keep perspective and context of the amount of snaps that each guy got.
Leading candidates for practice squad material right now?
You know, it just depends. Do you want to keep a third nose? Is there a guy worthy of it? I mean, right now it's, you know, LaVon Hooks and then Mosley Smith, who they just signed, who's kind of that Roy Phylon undersized, you know, nose tackle type. Hooks is more traditional. But I think Keshad Lyons, is still trying to keep himself in the conversation to beat out LT Walton for that last spot. I still have Walton on my 53-man roster, which I just put up today. I have Lyons on the practice squad. I think Lyons is the next guy, you know, onto the boat. You know, it just kind of depends what they want. If they want a guy that's more traditional 5-tech, Lyons, Johnny Max, you're going to fit that. If they want someone that's a little more undersized but has a little bit more pop and explosion, a Devontae Sigler would fit. So, you know, it just depends. Do they want to carry 2 defensive ends, just 1 end and 1 nose tackle, or just 1 end? I mean, there's a whole bunch of combinations. But long answer short, Keshad Lyons would be the in-house leader for the next guy up at the practice squad spots.
They normally, I think, try to keep 2, of course. I mean, it's juggled throughout the season, so it wouldn't be surprising to see him keep 2 defensive linemen, and who knows, maybe.
But the question is, do you know if they keep usually 1 end and 1 nose tackle, or if they mix it up? But do you have any idea what their tendency is there?
I'm trying to think back to who the original group was last year.
They switched it out, like, right away, though, so it's almost super
hard
to judge.
Yeah, and it's hard to remember because of that. I'll have to go back and look and see.
Yeah.
Remember, I mean, they kept McClendon on the practice squad for a while there, right? Bounced him back and forth.
That was a while ago.
In his early days. So it's something to research for sure. Outside linebacker, boy, those.
There's no one left. They had me play some snaps today.
The lines, as we say, are short. Chickalo, have to hope he can trend in the right direction. Rasko might not even stay a night in a hotel. Who knows? We'll have to see about that. I guess it's what? Mike Riley, Jordan Zumwalt,
and Arthur Motes.
Arthur Motes.
And I don't think Harrison was even in today. I think he might have gotten the day off. So I give credit to Zumwalt and Riley. I kind of, you know, criticized them after Friday's game, but I will say they played a ton of snaps and, you know, they played that kind of level. You give guys credit for that, especially Zumwalt, who hasn't played in the game in forever, and, you know, Riley, who's never played in a game before. So I do give him credit for that, you know, still showing good effort to the football despite playing, you know, 40 plus snaps or so. But yeah, really nothing to note today. But I think Arthur Motes, I think he's had it in his repertoire, but I think he's showing a better speed bull rush this year, which is one of James Harrison's go-to moves. James Harrison basically has two moves, that rip move and that speed bull. And I think Motes is, I think it's improved from last year. I don't know if there's a story behind that or if maybe it's just me seeing things. But, you know, so if there's kind of a go-to move for Arthur Motes this year, it's that speed bull rush, because it worked once today, I think it was on Ryan Harris. I've seen it work before in training camp practices. And, I think that could be a real asset for him.
I think we're going to see another body brought in tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll have to go look at that rookie minicamp roster. That's they're pulling a lot of guys from there.
Yeah, absolutely. Wonder if no sense spending time on speculating on roster moves at this time of year. But okay, inside linebacker, what you got?
I thought LJ Fort was all over my notes today. Another positive day. I mean, I think he got a lot of free runs at it, but he was in the backfield a lot today. Steven Johnson had a real nice breakup in Xavier Grimble, which I mentioned earlier, high pointing the football and knocking it away. So I thought those two had, and Fort especially, had some pretty active days out there.
Okay, Matakevich show up on your notes much, or did you just mention him?
No, I didn't mention him. He didn't show up a lot. They were kind of, you know, Matakevich and Johnson were getting a lot of second team work because Lawrence Timmons and Ryan Chazier were pretty limited today. So most of the time it was first team of Vince Williams and LJ Fort, second team Matakevich and Steven Johnson. But yeah, not a lot in my notes today. I think there was one tackle that Matakevich had in there, but nothing super notable today from the rookie.
We had a safety dance today, didn't we?
Yeah, and you know, that was a speculation for the last couple of days now, and definitely official now that they're on the field, that Duran Grant is in at safety. He ran just fourth team, though, so it's kind of like the last body in. He was running opposite of Ray Venipal, so just kind of give you an idea of how the lines are going. You know, there was one deep throw to DHB. Grant was trailing the play. He was at his safety spot, so I don't know if he had an assignment somewhere else or if he just took a bad angle and misjudged things. But Grant is working at safety. I don't think he worked at cornerback at all today. I didn't see it. So that could be the start of the switch.
Anything else before we go in back into corner? Anything else stick out safety-wise to you?
Jacob Hagan with an interception, and we knew Hagan was supposed to be a ball hawk with a couple of big mitts, and he had a nice interception on a deep ball from Landry Jones today. So the defense has barely gotten any interceptions in camp, so it's good for them to get a takeaway.
All right, cornerbacks. Artie Burns, you said pretty much still limited, so it'll be interesting to see if he's able to play against the Eagles Thursday night. We know who William Gay is already. We got a good idea. Give us a good Ross Cockrell update.
It's really more of the same, because there was I think it was one-on-ones today, and Cockrell has great coverage. He pins AB to the sideline. He's all over him, and I think Ben made that throw because it was a pretty throw. It was right over Cockrell's shoulder and in AB's mitts. So, I mean, it's just, I feel bad for that guy. He's got to get up fighting every day. You know, he's got to face Antonio Brown, and it's probably not going to get a whole lot better for him. But I think Cockrell's fine. I thought he showed a little bit of physicality in Friday's game against Detroit, and that's kind of the big thing for me. You want to be a base corner, you better be able to get your nose dirty, and so that's going to be the real challenge for Ross Cockrell.
Sean Davis work exclusively in the slot, or did he flip-flop back and forth safety in the slot?
He flip-flopped. Yep, first team slot corner and second team safety opposite Shark. Still a lot of technical stuff to work on. I think, you know, being able to press and jam guys and being able to have the right technique for that. Saw him once a day one-on-ones with Eli Rogers. He wrong-armed it. He punched inside while Rogers was having an inside release. And whenever you punch with your inside hand against an inside release, you can't open up your hips. And so you're going to get beat. And that's exactly what happened against Eli Rogers today. So I think there's still, you know, I think we mentioned this, and I don't want to go down that rabbit hole again, but it's got to be tough for Davis to get those snaps at the slot and safety. You're bouncing back and forth. You're trying to take in all that information. You're trying to, you know, play at a high level of both with half the reps, and that's a tough spot to be in.
Is there going to be another are we waiting for another corner to be added to this team after after the final cuts?
I wrote about it on the roster prediction today that I really think that there will be, and I'm guessing it's going to be somebody in the slot because you're going to have Gay and Cockrell and Artie Burns and probably even Duran Grant, even if he kind of sticks at safety. You can probably move him back down the corner if you have to. But slot guys, if you're so hell-bent on keeping Gay outside, you're, you know, predicting your 53-man roster, your slot guys is Sean Davis, and I don't really know who else. So I think they could target somebody in the slot. And in my roster prediction, I floated out a couple names, Robert McClain of the Panthers, Steve Williams from the Chargers, and then Terrence Mitchell from the Texans. Mitchell is most likely to be cut, but McClain is the most talented and kind of most, you know, well-versed, experienced guy. So, yeah, I think this could be 5 years in a row where they take another defensive back off the waiver wire.
And you know, for all the praise that a guy like Montel Garner has received, it's pushing it right now, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't discount it. I just feel like we've gone down that road before with different defensive backs, and we've mentioned it on a near daily podcast where it's, whether it's Ian Wild or Alton Darby or, you know, Kevin Fogg or the guys from years before that we all forgot about and we all hyped up at the time. I'm sure people can remind us of that in the comments. I don't discount that, you know, the chance, but I want to see Garner make some plays in game. I think you have to be able, if you're going to be regarded as a playmaker, which I think Garner is, you know, has that mindset and aggressive, you know, kind of skill set. You need to see it in the preseason, not just in practice and controlled environments. And so until I see some big playmaking in game from Montel Garner, I don't think the fact that he's working at all these spots is going to be enough to get him over the hump.
Yeah, I think what we might see is this team, after the final, you know, after the final 53 cuts are made, we're probably going to be stuck with, we'll probably be looking at 10 total defensive backs, and that includes Cinquez Golson. And then Golson, a day or two later, shipped to IR. And then, I mean, you know, you open to the waiver wire then, right?
Right. I guess the only unfortunate thing is, won't you kind of be a day behind? You won't be able to do any waiver claims because you have to let Golson pass through before anything else? Does that sound right?
So
you might kind of miss out the boat on the initial waiver wire? I don't know. The timeline's kind of funny.
Yeah, and here's the thing anyway. It's not like they're probably going to be up high in the waiver process anyway. So, you know, and if you think about Cockrell, he cleared waivers, so...
Yeah, he got cut at the 75 cut down, and he was out there for like a week before Pittsburgh signed. I mean, if they want to go for a veteran, then of course the veteran won't be subject to waivers, and they're going to be free to sign whenever.
Right, and you would think that we'd be talking about an experienced player here.
Well, I mean, probably not a rookie, but Antoine Blake was, what, in his second year, and B.W. Webb was in his second year, and Ross Cockrell was in his second year. So, you know, they've gotten guys that aren't, you know, brand new, but aren't, you know, the 7 year vet either.
Where is your head right now as far as this secondary is?
I still want to see it some more. You know, I still do have some worry about Sean Davis. You know, just are you getting enough reps there to really get better in that flip-flop back and forth? And I don't think Davis's play has been so stellar that I'm, you know, super confident about it. And I just, you know, again, I'm just worried about the depth. I've said that for a while now. It's young, it's inexperienced, and the couple guys that have Sunday experience don't have great tape out there. So, you know, I know every group needs to stay healthy. That's what you hope for. But I feel like one injury to the secondary could really cause some issues.
All right, have we, I think we hit everything, didn't we?
Yep, that's every spot. No, I will, just last point on the secondary, I will say, as bad as the secondary was last year with the guys rotated in and out, I mean, this was still a secondary that was productive in turnovers and 17th in a yards per attempt standpoint. So, you know, obviously you want a good secondary. It's going to help your pass rush. It's going to help turnovers and yada yada. But you know, this team has shown that they can win with an average to maybe below average secondary. So, you know, while obviously you are concerned about it, it's not like it's impossible for this team to be successful with a secondary that's average, as long as it's able to create some turnovers.
Some charting notes for us from Keith Butler sending some pressure.
Let me pull up the notes here real quick, because I had the tweet out this morning before everything kind of went crazy. But we went through my notes, and that was the first thing I wanted to see is, you know, how much did Keith Butler really pressure? And he blitzed 36.5% of the time Friday, 41.7% in the first half, 15 of 36 passes. He didn't blitz at all in the fourth quarter, so when the young guys came in, plus the Steelers offense had the ball more in the fourth quarter, he kind of pulled back. But yeah, the number 36.5% of the time he blitzed, that was more than 11 regular season games last year.
And I think on Matthew's side, got his charting stuff back too. The Lions only sent 5 or more pass rushers on 8 plays.
Here's my thought, because I was sitting there going, why is Keith Butler doing this? And this is my guess, and I was watching the Chargers game yesterday. Kind of jogged my memory. It was the 49ers and whoever the 49ers played. The Texans, 49ers-Texans. And they were kind of talking about how Chip Kelly and Bill O'Brien, they're close friends. And so they exchanged scripts and said, you know, Chip Kelly told Bill O'Brien, hey, can you run more two-back sets? We haven't seen a lot of that. And Bill O'Brien said, hey, Chip, can you run more up-tempo? Because we don't see a lot of that. So I wonder if, you know, Jim Caldwell or someone on the Lions, you know, Jim Bob Cooter or someone said to Keith Butler, hey, can you run a lot of fire zones this game? Because, you know, we have Green Bay 3-4. The Bears have switched to a 3-4. We haven't seen a lot of that yet, so we want to get prepared for those 3-4 or those odd fronts in those fire zones. So I wonder if that was a conversation that kind of compelled and had the Steelers blitz as much as they did, because otherwise it was very unusual.
That would be a great question for Mike Tomlin. I might shoot David Todd a direct message and see if he'll ask that during a press conference, to see if there's any kind of handshake deal like that. Hey, can you do this against us? You know, because, I mean, it would make sense to do it, you know, if you could. I mean, obviously teams want to win or whatnot. And look, it's not like you're telling them when you're going to do it. It's still up to the offense to identify it and right, that kind of stuff. So that would be interesting to know.
Yeah,
so,
I'd love to know. And obviously they were here for the joint practice, so they have a lot of time to talk and grab a beer and kind of talk about stuff. So I think it would make sense. This is just speculation, but we know what's happened around the league, and that's kind of the only explanation I can think of why Butler went that blitz heavy.
Yeah, we'll have to see if they do it again Thursday against the Eagles. Any final overarching thoughts? Got winners or losers for today?
Yeah, I'll give you a quick winner and loser. Again, Kobe Hamilton continues to stack good plays, coming off of Friday's impressive game. He's trying to make some noise for the practice squad, so hats off to him. Losers, that Julian Wiggum, I know it's his first day there, but he was getting burned. Now, he's got some hops, and he's able to contest with some passes, but DHB, you know, dusted him on a deep route today and kind of welcomed him to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then just Stingley and Brandon Brown Dukes, you're kind of watching them fade away a little bit behind Daryl Richardson, and that's obviously bad news for them.
Where is the time gone, Alex? Tomorrow is the last day of training camp.
Yeah, I'm just hoping it's on time and scheduled and there's no rain, because we got some rain. You know, obviously yesterday's washout, it rained today on us, so I'm just hoping for some dry weather.
I don't mind these kind of early days, though. I mean, it's nice having this podcast done and up for the listeners, you know, instead of 10:30 or 11 o'clock Eastern time. But hopefully things will go as planned on the final day on Tuesday. You'll, of course, have the write-up on the site afterwards, and then one final edition of the special edition of the Terrible Podcast on Tuesday evening as well. Alex, thanks a lot for painting a nice picture for us once again. And let's see. Thanks to you want to shout out to Touring Plans.
Yep, touringplans.com. If you're looking for your next Disney trip, go to their website again, touringplans.com, or at touringplans on Twitter to book your next trip to Disney. I know that's, you know, can be a very complicated process for some people trying to get the hotel and the pricing and food and yada yada, but that's a site to go to. So thank you to Touring Plans for getting our food sponsored for this training camp.
And of course, special thanks to all of our loyal listeners who contributed and donated to the cause once again this year too. It means a lot to help offset this cost that way as well too. And we'll try to give a full rundown of who those individuals are on the final podcast on Tuesday. today. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at Cedars Depot. You can follow Alex Cazora on Twitter at Alex_Cazora. Follow my co-host David Todd at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. And as always, thanks for listening to The Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave, and tonight, Alex Cazora.